Good morning, everybody. Welcome once again to Warden Full Gospel Assembly for another edition of online service. However, we're getting closer and closer to opening again. In the next couple of weeks, you'll be getting emails, video announcements regarding the opening of the church, which will outline all the protocols that will be happening in regards to this reopening. But also, let me remind you, the very first Sunday of October, October the 4th, we will be having our annual church general meeting. And so we want to also let you know that we are going to have that meeting because we were scheduled to have it in March, and due to COVID, we couldn't do it because all the churches had to be closed at that time. But in the process of reopening, we are going to have our annual general meeting on Sunday, October the 4th. So mark that date on your calendar. If you are able to come and desire to come, we would love to have you for that meeting. Now, we're going to continue our series on Boundless. We're going to talk about God's strength to empower. I remember when, as a parent, our children thought that I was all-knowing. Children would ask me a question, and I would answer with such incredible authority that they knew that I had the answers to any question that they would ever pose to me. They thought I was pretty smart. And then, if you think back to your teenage years, some of you who can think that far back, if you can think back to your teenage years, didn't you ever wonder how that at least one of your parents would magically be two places at the same time? Could you ever figure that out? How parents could be and know where you were and how you got there, and sometimes they magically appeared where you thought they would never, ever find where you were. Now, parents certainly do not compare closely to who God is and cannot be compared to God. But the God of the universe in his composite makeup can be everywhere at the same time. God, the Bible describes for us, is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. And really, that's a fancy way of saying that in every capacity, God is all-knowing. He knows the very secrets of your heart and the very thoughts of your mind. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, look what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says. If you would follow along on Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, "Nothing in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes, and it is he to whom we are accountable." But God is also omniscient, everywhere at the same time. And a third attribute that we discover in the scripture is that God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. And today, I am asking you, very succinctly, I'm asking you today to believe something that maybe perhaps you feel is an impossibility, or perhaps an improbability, that is, not only is God all-powerful, but he wants to empower you. That's what I want you to grab a hold of this morning. I want you to somehow embrace this incredible fact that not only is God all-powerful, but he also wants to empower us. Now, to unpack that, I would like to read to you a little bit lengthy portion of Scripture from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 through verse 21. If you have your Bibles or your smartphones available, follow along with me. It says these words, "I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power, that you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now today I just want to unpackage the incredible truth that is found in these verses. Because these verses describe for us how God desires to empower us. God empowers, first of all, he desires to empower us to, in order to build my inner being. Look what verse 16 says of Ephesians chapter 3. It says, I pray from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Now, the Apostle Paul is not describing some self-empowerment. No, when Paul says, through his Spirit, he is referring to the Holy Spirit that resides in us as followers of Christ. Unfortunately, for many people, the struggle in us is that we don't want to accept help from anyone because we proudly think, I can do it myself. I don't need anybody's help. Just look at toddlers. From a very young age, they say that they can do their own thing. They don't want you to help them. They have this attitude, this self-empowerment attitude that says, I can do it. I want to do it. Don't help me. You go through the teen years, same attitude, into adulthood, until the day we die. We think, do I really need God's Spirit? I'm fine on my own. I just need to work harder or maybe even get more education and read the right books, watch training videos. I just need to perhaps practice harder, practice more. I can do this myself. When we talk about changing things, I would like to submit to you that we're more concerned about changing the exterior of who we are. Most of us would prefer to be empowered on the outside. What others notice, a new hairstyle, new clothes, maybe a new association with connected friends, friends in high places. I love what John Ortberg facetiously said once. He said, I would like to be humble, but what if nobody notices? See, we like to be empowered on the outside where it's visible and people can see the changes that have transpired, where it's noticeable on the outside. But it's the inside remodeling that the spiritual aspect, the internal aspect that the Apostle Paul is describing here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. It's the internal part that we're not quite sure about. And so the Apostle Paul says that God wants to empower us in our most inward being. He wants to change us from the inside out. He wants to touch our heart. He wants to touch our mind. He wants to touch our soul, our most inward being. He wants to change us from the outside in order to make us more faithful to him. And so this quality is found in, for example, in the life of an elderly couple who unwaveringly stand with each other for the duration of life, being a lifetime companion where they stay with each other until the Lord comes or takes them home. I remember several years ago as I was studying at Columbia International University in South Carolina, I remember very abruptly the president of the university, President McQuilkin, abruptly resigned. And he made a very profound statement that has stuck with me from that time. He said, my first responsibility is to take care of my wife who is suffering from Alzheimer's. See, that's an example of being changed on the inward part of our inward being. Here's another example, the ability and the power sometimes to speak up and to stand up and to stem the tide of moral erosion that happens in our society. And people may laugh at your biblical values and the values that you hold on to. And you may, but God may put you in a place and put you in a position where you can stand for truth and where you can stand for the rightness and the righteousness of God. This empowering of your inner being is not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing action. You see, this verse, verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 3, is written in the present passive tense. It's happening now. And more importantly, it's happening to you. You're not doing it. You're not relying on your resources to strengthen you. It's being done to you. It's passive, not active. It's through the Spirit of God. It's not through you. God is the one who is empowering us in the inmost being, and he wants to do that daily in our lives. And that's why it's so important that we come together as a church. Now, that's why these past 6 months has been so difficult for so many people on so many levels as we've been dealing with COVID-19. It's been difficult because we are undermining this aspect of coming together as a church, where we come together in corporate and group worship gatherings. And in part, it's the reason for why it's so important is we need to be recharged in our spiritual batteries. And the only way that you can do that is to find yourself in a place surrounded by others who are relying on the presence of the Holy Spirit in corporate worship to encourage us. Celebrating Jesus together, as we do in the Holy Spirit, happens when we together experience the Holy Spirit empowering each of our innermost beings. People say, well, I'm too weak. I could never forgive that person who's abused me. Or I'm too weak. I just can't control my anger. I'm too weak. I could never break the habit of profanity in my life. I'm too weak, people say. I could never overcome the sins that I have committed. Now, in and of yourself, you are absolutely right. We can't do it. But aren't you glad today that daily, as you seek God's empowerment, it's like having your batteries recharged. A digital camera is completely obsolete if the battery goes dead on you. But when it's recharged, and it has been recently charged, there is a power source there that can cause you to take dramatic pictures. I remember the story that was told once of a church that would have these long, two-week revival evangelistic services in the spring and in the fall, and camp meeting in the summertime. And in this particular church, there was this man every single night who would respond to the invitation to come to the front and repent of his sins. And the next day he would do the same thing, and the next night he would do the same thing every single night. When the invitation was given, the same man would come to the front and put his hands in the air, and every single night, each night, he would pray, "Fill me, Lord Jesus. Fill me, Lord Jesus." Finally, one night, someone from the congregation yelled out, "Don't do it, Lord. He leaks." Well, to a certain extent, we all leak. To a certain extent, all of us in our most inner being needs to experience the daily empowerment of the One. We need to experience the connection to the One who is all-powerful to rebuild and to build my most inner being. The second thing is that God empowers us to establish His immense love in us. Now notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. It says, "And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep His love is." Now, you need to underscore "to understand," that phrase, "to understand." It literally means to apprehend. It literally means to arrest. In other words, grab a hold of God's love and never doubt it for a second. That's what it means to understand. Grab a hold of this fact that God loves you immensely. This verse is an all-encompassing description of the love of Christ that he has for us. When a person dies on your behalf, it's difficult to try and put into words the measure and the extent of their love. Paul here uses and resorts to using dimensions in an effort to somehow help us to grasp God's immense love. He says, how wide, how long, how high, how deep his love is. Just try to fathom that. In your own mind, try to fathom how wide and long and high and deep God's love being so inclusive. I one time asked my wife, what do I do? Now, this is 40 years of marriage, if you understand that. I asked her, what do I do that shows you that I love you? And I was surprised by what she said. She said, it's when you come in and you sit down and you talk to me. Or it's when you spend time with me. She says, I know that you love me when you ask me to go with you when you run errands. Now, as shocking as that may seem to you, it is the absolute truth, because so many times we think we can buy love, or if we get expensive gifts that we somehow show our love to our spouses. But here we have a description of love not being associated with material things or expensive jewelry. It is, I want to spend time with you. I want to connect with you on a deeper level. Sit down and talk with me. And the Apostle Paul is trying to describe for us the incredible love that God has for us. Christ's love, he says, is so incredible that I don't know how to describe it other than to provide you some kind of dimension that you can understand on this earth. And even with those dimensions in mind, we still can't quite comprehend the immensity of God's love for us. Psalm 103, verse 11 and verse 12 says these words, "For his unfailing love toward those who fear him is as great as the height of the heavens above the earth. He has removed our sins as far from us as the east is from the west." Psalm 36, verse 5 says, "Your unfailing love, O God, or Lord, is as vast as the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches beyond the clouds." Micah chapter 7, verse 19, You will trample our sins under your feet and throw them into the depths of the ocean. Now, thirdly, here's the third reason why God empowers us. He wants us to reflect Jesus. Notice what it says in verse 19 of Ephesians chapter 3. It says, "May you experience the love of Christ. Though it is too great to understand fully," we just described that in verse 18, "then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." The Bible assures us that if you are a Christ follower, you have a chance to be a reflection of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, it picks up this similar theme. It says, "But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit of God living in you," and remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to him at all. So what Paul is describing here, what he's talking about, is how God wants us to be conformed to his likeness. In fact, the term Christian can literally be translated little Christ. So you are to be a representation of who Jesus was. Unfortunately, one of the reasons that society gets turned off by Christians and by the church is because when they look at Christians, they don't see the reflection of Jesus in them. The Lord, listen, the Lord isn't expecting perfection in your life, but he is expecting you to take strides in growing in his likeness. He's not wanting you to be perfect. None of us are perfect. But at least he wants to see in your life this dedication to taking strides to being made in the likeness of Jesus. God wants to develop maturity in your life. God wants to take and develop spiritual strength in your life. He wants you to be a spiritual encouragement to every other believer and to other people. And if you are a believer who has committed his or her life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, then you should show and reflect Jesus in your daily life. That means you're encouraging people, you're patient with co-workers, and people who do things differently. You are gracious towards them. Just this past week, I met a man who, out of the blue, asked me, "What kind of church is Warden Full Gospel Assembly?" How would you answer that question? What kind of church is Warden Full Gospel Assembly? I responded to that question with a question, and I asked him, "Do you have any experience with church or with people who call themselves Christians?" And he replied, "Oh, yeah." And he named his denomination. But he said, "I haven't been to church in like forever." My next question to him was, "Why?" And then he responded by saying these words. He said, "The reason I haven't been back to church is because I was constantly judged. I could never do anything right. It seemed like before I would even come to the front doors of the church, before I even entered into the building of the church, I was condemned before I even arrived." And I responded, "Well, Warden Full Gospel Assembly is not a church like that. I sure hope I'm right." Because it means to be a part of the church that loves people and wants to embrace people and share the good news with other people, it means that we have the Christ-likeness a part of our DNA. It means that we have joy. It means that we have love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control as part of our spirit life. And it comes out, it reflects who Jesus is. In other words, life is not a drudgery. It is something to be embraced. It is something where we see and look at every single day as an opportunity to make a difference for Jesus. I remember seeing a t-shirt that once said, "If you have the joy of the Lord in your heart, then please notify your face." That's what we're talking about. It's becoming so enamored with Christ that Christ becomes so indelibly a part of us that it just reflects out. I love the analogy of C.S. Lewis in Mere Christianity. He had this very interesting analogy. It's found in Book 4, Chapter 9 of Mere Christianity. And he talks about, imagine, C.S. Lewis has this analogy. He says, imagine yourself living in a house. And God comes along and he wants to rebuild that house. At first, perhaps, you can understand what he is doing. He's changing the plumbing and he's stopping the leaks on the roof and doing minor repairs and so on. You knew those jobs needed to be done. And so you're not surprised that God is working in that fashion. But then presently, all of a sudden, he starts knocking down the walls of the house. And now it doesn't seem to make sense at all. And you're thinking to yourself, what on earth is he up to? What is God doing? The explanation is that he is building quite a different house than you thought. The explanation is that he is throwing out and building a new wing He's putting in an extra floor. He's putting up huge towers on either end. He's making courtyards. And even though you thought, C.S. Lewis says, even though you thought you were going to make, he was going to make a decent little cottage, but God had other plans. He was building a palace, and he intends to come and live in that palace by himself. See, reconstruction, that is what God is doing and wants to do with my life. And because there are so many people who need to see Jesus in us, they need to see something different. They need to see the fruit of the Spirit in operation in us. People need to see that God is doing a new work in us so that we can reflect Jesus. And here's the final empowerment. God wants to empower us because he wants to glorify himself in our lives. Notice what it says in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Look at verse 21. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. That phrase in verse 20, to accomplish infinitely more, is a double compound. When you look at verse 20 and you underscore verse 20 and you underline these words, to accomplish infinitely more, that double compound is a combination of words that creates a powerful meaning. It means exceedingly abundantly. In other words, God can do much more for us and in us than we could ever imagine. Infinitely more, exceedingly abundantly more. And that's why Paul breaks into this doxology where he says, glory be to God, glory be to God. Now, some of you may have grown up in a church where in part of your worship experience, in your worship order of service, you began by singing the doxology. You probably know the words, praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We know that doxology. But here is the doxology of the Apostle Paul. It's found in verse 20 and verse 21. It starts off, praise God, praise God. It's a worship experience that he's encountering. It's a praise experience. And whether it's a prayer or whether it's a song, it's basically the expression within Paul, I can't hold back, I can no longer resist, I've got to let it out. Exceedingly abundantly, God can accomplish incredibly in my life than I could ever imagine. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying. He is saying, God is so fantastic. God is so powerful. God is so great. He will do exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever imagine in our life and mind. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Paul says, the church should glorify God. It's not the church's name. It's not Warden Full Gospel Assembly that should be glorified. No. Warden Full Gospel Assembly, our church, is simply a vehicle to not be an obstacle to others, to help others connect to Jesus. John Piper once suggested we should see the church as a hospital established by God, where his son, Jesus Christ, is the only physician. And so God gets the glory in the hospital by all the people getting well through the surgery of his son. Unfortunately, we've created this image that keeps people from coming to church or keeps people from embracing the message of the gospel. It's almost as if the church has this motto that says, get your act together and then come and join us. But where's the logic in that kind of reasoning? If you can get your act together, If you can pull yourself together without the Lord and the loving encouragement of a church family, then why in the world would you need Jesus? If you can pull yourself together, if you can get your act together, you don't need Jesus in your life. In the New Testament, the religious leaders began to mumble behind Jesus' back because Jesus was spending time with all the people, and he was looked down upon. Why would he spend time with the scum of the earth? Look what Mark and how Mark describes it in Mark chapter 16, chapter 2, verse 16. Notice what Jesus says. But when the teachers of the religious law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with such scum?" And look what Jesus says in verse 17. When Jesus heard this, he told them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners." What an incredible statement. If you're a follower of Jesus, that is an awesome statement. Jesus subtly makes his point to these religious leaders, who were just as sinful as the sinners that they were pointing their fingers at. Their sins just happened to fall into a category of self-righteousness and pride rather than immorality and rebellion. But they were sinners nonetheless. So let me say to you today, it doesn't matter whether your sins are great or small or what's on your list of weaknesses or struggles. Can I tell you, all those things are irrelevant. Because there is a doctor who's available, and Jesus, the doctor, is the only one who can empower you and can change your life. See, the challenge is that so many of us are so good at covering up the messes that we actually fake people out. We live our lives, and we live our lives very superficially and tell everybody everything is good in our life. Everything is fine in our lives. But we need to live our lives in such a way where we are humbled by God's grace to the point where we, like the Apostle Paul says, "Listen, I don't deserve God's love. I don't deserve to be called a Christian. My life was a complete and total mess if it wasn't for Jesus." That's the way we should live our lives, with this living a life that is humbled by grace. See, Jesus is drawn to my mess. Jesus is drawn to messy people. And that's why we call him Messiah. And look at this last slide. It says Messiah, but notice the words. It's mess. We live in a lives that are messy. And Jesus came to be the Messiah for messy people. The Lord says, "If you trust me, I'll transform you from the inside out. You can't do it on your own. No one else can do it for you. Regardless of how popular or how wealthy or talented you may be, no matter how connected or educated you are, let me transform you. Let me take all the previous messes of your life and let me truly become the Messiah in your life. And when I am the Messiah working in you, it will transform you from the inside out." Now, some of you are old enough to remember the Beatles, remember the day when the Beatles were quite popular. If I say Beatles to my kids, they think I'm talking about a Volkswagen or I'm talking about a bug. But there was a time, about 52 years ago, during an interview, that John Lennon said, "We," meaning the Beatles, "were more popular than Jesus Christ." Now, when he made that statement 52 years ago, do you know that today, roughly 5 million believers, followers of Jesus, passionate people of Jesus in Canada will be meeting in some form or another? And I doubt that even today, 5 people would go to the grave of John Lennon and give him a doxology. Jesus Christ is supreme. His glory never fades. It never tarnishes. His glory never diminishes. And John Lennon didn't last. Today, people will be worshiping the Messiah, and I would say less than a handful of people would even go to the tomb of where John Lennon is buried. And this God is so powerful and is able to enact his power in your life and in through the church, and he will accomplish infinitely more than you can ever imagine or even embrace. He can accomplish so much more. And all he is saying to you is, will you give me your life? Will you trust me? Can I surprise you? Can I surprise you today of what I want to do in your life today? Will you trust me for the next month, with the next year? Will you just trust me to do something more in your life than you could ever dream of? That's where we need to come to. And Paul, the Apostle Paul in Ephesians, is desperately trying to convey to the church, not only of Ephesus, but in the 21st century, he is trying to convey to the church through the power of God's word, don't stop now. Don't stop believing. God is able. And if you let him, he will empower you and he will transform your life. This passage of God's word in Ephesians is saying, why don't you take the seatbelt and buckle it and get ready? Because God wants to do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine in your life. God is so powerful that he spoke words and the universe came into existence. God is so powerful that he took a small pebble that was in the hands of a small boy and he killed a giant. God took a small stick in the hands of a man and he parted the Red Sea. God took some mud and placed it on the eyes of a man and he was able to see. And God took his power and conquered the grave. Now, for some of you, as I've listed these miracles of what God has pulled off, you nod your head in agreement and you will say a resounding amen. But now let's turn the attention to you. Let me turn this attention to your direction. When I speak of how God can empower you, for some reason you shake your head and say, well, I'm not really sure God is that interested in me. I don't know. I'm feeling quite inadequate right now. I don't know if God can do that for me. And you start to list all kinds of excuses, and you begin to think that God is not capable of working in your life. Do you really think that your little personal area of struggle is more difficult than putting the whole solar system in place? Listen, God is not some cosmic deity that is thousands of miles away, watching us from a distance, as Bette Midler sings. No. God is real. God is here. His presence is where you are, right there in your room where you are watching right now. God is there, and he's willing to take the insecurities and the messes of your life. He's willing to take it, and by the power of the Spirit of God living in you, he wants you to live a victorious life. He wants to make a difference in your life. He wants his power to be operating in your life. And if you surrender to him and believe in your heart, He is more than able and more than willing to do immeasurably more than you could ever ask or imagine. Let's pray to that God right now. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you would take our simple lives and that you would empower us to be made holy in your ways. Let us become the example that you would have us to be in the world today. Fill us and do immeasurably more than we could ever imagine in our lives. And let us see the glory of the power of God expressed to the point where we say every single day, praise be to God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, operating and working to make me more like Jesus. In His name we pray, amen. Let's partake of communion as Pastor Connie leads us.